Welcome to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly community affairs update. To keep you connected to our mission of advancing equity through empowerment of children, adults, and families of Russell and other West Louisville neighborhoods. Spend the next hour tuned in right here. Get the latest news of family services, community opportunities, businesses, and economic development, and much more. Hear from our leaders and special guests. Call in to be a part of this history-making broadcast. Join LCCC's movement to create vibrant neighborhood conditions for children, for adults, and businesses to thrive socially, academically, artistically, and economically. This is the next episode of Russell on the Move with your host, Kevin Fields. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.
Good morning and welcome back to Russell on the Move. This is Kevin Fields and blessed today to be bringing you another episode of Russell on the Move. Hope you've been with us as we've been on this journey. And hope you heard our last week's show. We had a great show last week. But in case you missed it, you can actually find it out on our website. Last week's show, we did a spotlight on Brother Meshawn Daniels and his new book, I Am Not Your Black America, and had a great spirited conversation with Brother Meshawn. And again, you can find the blog post and the podcast from that broadcast on our website at www.lccnews.org. So I'm excited about today's guest, and I'm going to get right into it because we got a short window of time, and we're blessed to have Brother Scott Love in the studio with us with the Louisville LISC, the Local Initiatives. And I'm going to let Brother Scott break it down for you guys. But he's here in the studio with us. He's the executive director of the Louisville LISC Initiative. I'll say it, it's the Louisville Initiative for Support Corporations, and a national entity, and he's heading up the Louisville operations. So, Brother Scott, welcome. Welcome to Russell on the Move. So glad you're here this morning.
Thank you so much, Kevin. It's my pleasure to be here, and I look forward to our conversation today.
Absolutely, absolutely. We want to remind our listening audience that we want you to be informed and empowered by this conversation, but we also want you to be engaged. So you have the opportunity to call into the studio. The number here is 502-571-1240. And at the 30-minute mark of the broadcast, we're going to open up the lines and you'll get a chance to call in with your questions or comments as you learn about today's special guest and the enterprise that he's heading up for the benefit of our community in West Louisville. The Louisville LISC office is really aimed at addressing opportunity, but challenging some of the disparities, the wealth gap, and some of those other economic disparities that we talk about often on this broadcast. You're going to get a chance to hear from a national expert who is a local guy, but he's grounded in a local and a national movement that's addressing wealth disparities across the country. I do understand that my compadre and friend, co-host, Brother Herbert L. Johnson is on the line. Good morning, Herbert.
Morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. I know you're out on the road this morning. You got the DJ with you?
No, he's not with me right now.
Okay.
He's actually taking care of something. But anyway, I just wanted to say hello to Scott. And, welcome to the show, brother. Looking forward to hearing what you got going over with your agency you're working with.
Good morning, man. I look forward to it. I think we're going to have an exciting time, man.
All right, bro.
All right, right. So, Scott, I'm going to come to you. And one of the things that's part of the tradition of this show, we like to start with just having our special guests give a brief bio on themselves. And go far back as you want to, just to let our listening audience know who is Scott Love.
Sure. Thank you, Kevin. You know, I've been in Louisville now. I'm not a Louisville native, but I've been in Louisville now going on 26 years, so I can definitely call Louisville home. My background has primarily been in banking, In college, I was a teller, worked my way up to commercial loan officer. I go all the way back here in Louisville to the Bank of Louisville days. Then we were bought out by BB&T Bank and then Truist. And so I've worked in that capacity in commercial lending. Primarily my career spent in West Louisville. And then also as a CRA manager for a region that consisted of Kentucky, Indiana, and Ohio. Also spent almost 13 years with the city of Louisville and Louisville Forward, the city's economic development arm, where most of my career with the city was also spent in West Louisville. And so we've worked hard to really help engage community around economic and community development goals. And then, I had an opportunity to move over to LIST, the Local Initiative Support Corporation. And so we are a national CDFI, Community Development Financial Institution. We've been around for 40 plus years now, since 79. And we are really doing some good work across the country. Now, we're located, Kevin, in 38 cities. We have a rural division where we find ourselves in 2,400 counties, which really gives us presence in 49 states. But the gist of what we do is really in the local offices, small local offices, normally 3 to 6 individuals, really helping to drive community impact through collaboration and partnership with those existing community entities. And so, I love to tell that story, and I look forward to your questions.
Absolutely, it's Russ Scott. And certainly we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge our St. Stephen Church family and your ministry leader there at St. Stephen. And blessed to have you here, Deacon.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm so blessed to have a colleague of mine interviewing me today through St. Stephen. I've been blessed to serve in a number of roles and Chairman Emeritus of the Deacon Board at St. Stephen.
Well, I hope Pastor's listening, because he's our guest next week, and I want him to take some pointers from this show.
I don't know if he'll be able to do that. He's so dynamic. Don't forget, you have to call him Dr. Doctor next week.
No, double dose.
Double dose.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, Scott, thank you. I've known you probably for most of the years that you've been here in Louisville, because I know when we met probably over 20 years ago, and for as long as I've known you, you've been in the business development area and working specifically with minority businesses and focused a lot on West Louisville. And I want to acknowledge, too, that you and Herbert have banking in common, because that was Herbert's first stint out of college, was to get into the banking business. Herbert, so you probably can relate to that, right?
Yes, I can. Yeah, Kevin, I didn't know what about Scott, so it's good to know.
Yeah,
good
you guys experience. Probably have some old banking stories y'all could tell. But let's talk about LISC. Share with the audience about LISC. And I've done a little bit of research, and I learned about Project 10X. And it seems like that was something that lines up with our core mission in terms of advancing economic development in disparate areas, underserved neighborhoods like West Louisville. So talk about LISC and Project 10X. What can you tell us about that?
Thank you for that question. That's something that I'm really excited to talk about. So back in early 2020, moving into 2021, we had a lot of social unrest, as you remember. We certainly were fighting through a pandemic. And so a lot of inequities in our community, our BIPOC community, really started to emerge. And so leadership at LISC really started to look at how can we make a profound difference? Our daily work is moving the needle, but how can we do something profound? And so as they were looking and thinking about this, just through research, they identified that the average white family has 10 times the amount of wealth and equity as a black family. Life expectancy on average is about 10 years longer. So they said, well, what can we do to change this? So LISC embarked on a 10-year, $1 billion initiative to change that. And so, through that $1 billion, we're really looking to change systems in our community. This $1 billion really breaks down into $100 million in grant capital and about $900 million in low-cost loans and equity for our community. So we're, you know, striving to narrow that racial disparities in health, wealth, and opportunity. You know, just in 2021 alone, we raised about $663 million, deployed over $121 million of that early money. I think now, and I apologize, I didn't check this morning, but I think we have met and possibly eclipsed now that $1 billion mark. But Project 10X really, Kevin, was to expand economic opportunity in communities of color. That's where LISC works, in the communities of color. And really make investments ranging from capital infusion for minority-owned banks and businesses. Then we do a lot of grant making, so grants around health and education, technical assistance for home ownership and family wealth building. Project 10X really has four key pillars to generate enduring wealth and equity, strengthen economic mobility. I know that's near and dear. All of these are near and dear to LCCC, but you have the Economic Mobility Summit, improving community health and resilience, and then finally, really reimagining or reimagining what community safety looks like and what our role is into that. So these are our four key pillars to our Project 10X. And so we're really excited about this work that we're doing across the country.
It sounds exciting, and certainly pleased to know that, you know, Louisville has a leg in that endeavor, that billion-dollar commitment. We know that that's coming from LISC from a national perspective. Can we drill down and see how much of that impact do you expect to deliver here in this market, and then what specific strategies would enable that?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Thank you. So, you know, LISC, as a national CDFI, we're really forging resilient and inclusive neighborhoods of opportunity. And so through Project 10X and really through our daily work, we're really trying to help align community partners across sectors to drive what I'll call changes in system relative to capital or capacity building or just basic neighborhood vision. So our work is really centered around 10 pillars, Kevin. Some of those would be affordable housing, economic development, small business building, health, sports and rec, child care, early education, safety and justice, just to name a few. So as we look and think about LISC, the Local Initiative Support Corporation, really my staff and I, we're looking to locally to invest, build, advise, convene, advocate. Really this 10X project is really additive to what we do on a normal daily basis. How much we can drill down into Louisville really depends upon, you know, the things that we, in collaboration with community, come up with. One of the things about LISC, we're not here to necessarily tell the community what's needed, but work with community to fund what they think is important. And, you know, this rising tide, as they say, will lift all ships. So we're here to listen, we're here to fund and to grant money. So, you know, how much gets deployed is really dependent upon us. How proactive can we be to really establish some sound ideas, principles, organizations to move community forward?
Wow, thank you. Thank you for that. And as we were talking about the local initiative, what's happening in Louisville, and I had a chance to meet your team, and was excited in meeting your team, Scott. And I hope Anita is still with you. Anita Phelps.
She sure is.
Yeah, so I know in the professional ranks, she is Anita Phelps, but when I grew up with her in Beach Terrace, she was Nita.
Ah.
Nita Phelps, and had a few Nitas living along 13th Street with me, Nita Phelps, Nita Stokes. And me and her younger brother, Herman, baby Herman, used to be partners running up and down 13th Street as kids. So it's great to see that you've got a great team, Scott. And I know that team is helping you to make sure that the tentacles of LISC are going deep into the community. And so we appreciate that. So talk more about the partnerships that you're looking to develop through the LISC movement.
Sure, thank you. So, you know, as an intermediary You know, we're really looking to invest and support these local initiatives, and I can't emphasize that enough. We're really seeking to work with folks. You know, as I stated earlier, you know, we've been in existence since 79. We work across all these cities. You know, just talking about our investment for a moment, you know, we really focus on place-based work, Kevin. And I think really some early examples of our work here in Louisville centers around, you know, our work in economic development. You know, we also have worked with nonprofit capacity building for West Louisville. I think, you know, as we look at partnerships, we're looking for those community entities who are really moving the needle. And that's going to be through grant activity from us. That could be loan capital that we deploy. You know, we do small business loans. We do any lending from $100,000 up to $10 million.
Wow.
And so we do real estate. We don't do any consumer lending, but all commercial, all community building. So that's one positive way that we're giving back to the community. You know, when you look at our community and you think about some of the disparities that have been uncovered, you know, particularly, and I'll focus on the life expectancy gap. I think when we did research here locally, it's about 13 years from East End Louisville to West End Louisville. 13 years is a lot of time. And so, you know, List National, we've created something called the Healthy Futures Fund. It's a $200 million fund to bring community health centers to underserved neighborhoods such as West Louisville. So I'm happy to see the Norton Hospital. We didn't play a role in that, but that's something that we seek to do, as well as really advocating for and ramping up affordable housing opportunities. Here locally in the food space, we've have a $110,000 investment in food access for the Smoketown area. So always looking to invest to really provide access and tamp down some of these disparities that we find in our BIPOC community.
That is awesome to hear that. You know, I'm going to follow up on a couple points you just made. One on the I didn't know you were doing some work in food security space in Smoketown. And, you know, that's the focus of our 7th annual West Louisville Economic Mobility Summit.
Yes, sir.
It's scheduled for October 20. So certainly want to reach out to you and your team to help us and to be engaged in that summit, because we're looking to, you know, collaborate and partner with thought leaders in that food insecurity space so that we can, you know, address that. And then the other thing, Scott, a project that I know you were very instrumental in and List was very instrumental in, and it's an ongoing project that's unfolding with the Old Porter Paint site and the partnership that you enabled for our community with the Cincinnati Bengals. Can you talk about that project in terms of how that partnership came together?
Sure. So List National, we have a national partnership with the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA. And so we work with all these agencies to help bring resources terms of fields and courts to local underserved communities. We believe that part of the fight for safety and justice is making sure that our young people, families, have positive recreational activity. And so we were proud to partner with the Louisville Metro Housing Authority to provide a $250,000 grant to build out a turf field. You may remember, Kevin, during my time with Louisville Metro, I was part of the team from Louisville for to help secure the $30 million HUD grant for Beecher Terrace. And when we took the park away at 9th and Muhammad Ali, several of us made it personal and said, we've got to do work to make sure that park is returned to community. And when I joined List and saw this national opportunity we had with the NFL, you know, I reached out to the Cincinnati Bengals through our national office, and really almost early in my career here with List, we started on that work. It took about a year or so to bring it about, but you know, we look to partner with national agencies to deploy funds in community that's going to make a difference. LISC is here to help make a difference, to bring funds that would not ordinarily come to Louisville, specifically West Louisville. That's why we're here, and you know, that's a shining example of what we can bring to community to make a difference.
And that's a great example, and certainly on behalf of our community, I want to, you know, acknowledge and thank you for that. Because that, as you stated, Scott, that is an initiative that's near and dear to a lot of us. Because when we took away the 10th Street Park, as we know it, we took away the home practice field for the 10th Street Cardinals.
Yeah.
And institutionally speaking, the 10th Street Cardinals is very important to our community. I had a chance to, you know, my son KJ, at the age of 6, when he first started into Little League athletics, he started with 10th Street Cardinals, and I was there coaching them. And I just you know, working with that organization over many years, realized the critical importance. You know, there's not one institution that I can think of, and if anybody knows, you can tell me, but not one institution, maybe other than public schools, that can amass commitments from African-American boys and girls, because they have cheerleading too. But Little League football, you know, over the years has had thousands of boys ages 6 to 12, and I think now they go as young as 4. They got the Mighty Mites. When we were coaching there, they started at Pee Wee. Now they got the Mighty Mites. And so it's so important to have those institutions support it, and it's another disparate concern, because you know, when we moved KJ from the Muhammad Ali League back in those days, 10th Street Cardinals, out to the Optimist League, where he played with the Linden Packers, we saw firsthand the big difference in economic resources available to kids, just, you know, comparing those two experiences. So being able to make sure we're looking after those investments, I just want to say thank you and thank Lisk and thank the Bengals for that. You know, and we too are at the table with the Housing Authority looking at how we can make sure that that investment is sustainable over future generations. So we're advocating strongly that there be some economic investment, some commercial real estate investment, privately owned commercial a real estate investment, preferably Black-owned real estate investment there. And I know that Liz can identify with that, because
not only do we identify, but we support that.
Yeah.
And we look to support that, you know, the best way we can through grants or loan capital to entities and groups who really want to drive that. As we've talked many times over the years, you know, this economic investment in West Louisville is critical to the sustainability and rising up, if you will, of the community. And so it's the collective effort. All of us need to do this heavy lifting. And you know, I'm seeing agencies and individuals who are really leaning in and focused on this work. So Lisk is just really happy to be a part of that, either as a thought leader, a funder, or just a collaborator with LCCC and others.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So let's talk about this whole phenomenon that we are all committed to, you know, the wealth gap, wealth disparity. It correlates with other disparities. You know, there's health disparities. There's educational attainment disparities. But a lot of the human needs work, and we've studied this stuff for many years, ties back to economics. You know, when you think about, you know, housing, food, if you look at the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, those top needs are mostly economically based.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know Lisk has done a lot of research on this. So how does Lisk plan to address disparities in wealth and life expectancy between Blacks and whites?
That's a powerful question right there. Let me just say broadly, you know, as an intermediary, we're always cobbling funds together from foundations, corporations, governments to fund meaningful impact into community. You know, we're proud to say that we experience nationally a 3-to-1 leverage on our investment or for our funders. Since 79, Kevin, we've invested as a company $29 billion billion into community. Now, you know, you and I have had enough conversation that the real number is how have we leveraged that? And so with community partners like a LCCC or others, government entities, we've been able to leverage that north of $89 billion worth of investment since 79. Just since our short time, just at 2 years here in Louisville, we already have $25 million of investment in Louisville. And so we're proud about that. But I want to go back to say that it's a collective effort, how we address these disparities, you know. And so pulling together organizations around education, around health, around economic development, maybe our role as a convener, as a funder, can play a critical role as we look to lift up, you know, West Louisville particularly. The list here, we have a 11 neighborhood footprint, so the 9 contiguous neighborhoods of West Louisville, but we also do work in Smoketown and Shelby Park. And so those 11 neighborhoods are where we're focused to do this systemic change to really address these disparities and inequities. And probably the best way we do that is through our grant making and through our loan making, and then providing this technical assistance, drawing down on our national research. For instance, I did a convening a couple months ago now with several prominent West Louisville entities, LCCC being one, to talk about community investment in real estate. And we followed a report that was done of our Twin Cities LISC office and really talked about the benefits of that. So I think continued convenings, continued discussion, and continued exploration of how we bring new resources to Louisville. We're not relying on metro government, but we're trying to bring new national resources to Louisville to help move the needle. So I think that's primarily how we're looking to address all of these, the myriad of inequities and disparities within our West Louisville community.
Folks, if you just tuned in to Russell on the Move, you're listening to Scott Love with the Local Initiative Support Corporation, known as LISC. He is the CEO of LISC Louisville. And we want you to be a part of this conversation. So we're going to take a short break in a moment. But when we come back, we're going to open up the lines. The dial-in number here is 502-571-1240. You have a chance to call in with questions or comments as we continue this conversation. You know, and I'm looking at the website. You might want to know how you can learn more about LISC. And if you take time during the break to go to the World Wide Web and look up LISC.org. Just Google that, and you will immediately be introduced to a wealth of information about LISC Louisville. And we're going to talk more after the break about how we can get connected to those opportunities that LISC Louisville is advancing. We heard Brother Scott talk about loans and grant opportunities, and we're going to dial in a little deeper on that subject to see how we can actually, you know, empower ourselves with that information and actually get connected to those opportunities. So stand by. We'll be right back after the break.
Louisville Central Community Centers is celebrating 75 years of service to the community. LCCC is officially announcing the 75-year challenge and pledge. Join in the celebration and pledge your support by donating $75 today. Your donation goes directly to support the families we serve daily. Mail your donations to LCCC, 1300 West Muhammad Ali, 40203. Call 502-853-8821 or log on to LCCCnews.org.
Are you ready to make a real impact in your community? Look no further than AmeriCorps Vista's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project at LCCC. Become a Vista Community Impact Ambassador. Become a catalyst for positive change. Picture yourself working hand-in-hand with local leaders, organizations, and residents to empower the Russell neighborhood. As a Vista volunteer, you'll play a vital role in creating lasting solutions to address poverty and inequality. Your dedication will help build a stronger, more vibrant community for everyone. Make a difference, make connections, and make memories that will last a lifetime. Join the AmeriCorps Vista team at LCCC's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project today. Visit our website at lcccnews.org. to learn more and apply. Be the change you want to see in the world. Become AmeriCorps Vista Community Impact Ambassador, where your passions meet action.
And welcome back to Russ on the Move. Kevin Fields, LCCC, here with Brother Scott Love from the Louisville LISC Enterprise. And we're here talking about opportunities for engagement and empowerment toward addressing critical issues. You know, we talk about it all the time. economic empowerment, economic opportunity, addressing gaps, whether it's wealth gaps, whether it's educational gaps. We're here to address these issues that have been plaguing the Black community from day one here in America. And we've yet to fully overcome, although many of us have figured out how to navigate this thing, there's a lot of us that are still dealing with it, looking to overcome. But I'm impressed with what LISC has to offer. When you go out on their website, you see a set of program offerings that they're really concerned about: affordable housing, early learning through child care, economic development, education, financial stability, health, safety, justice, small business development, sports and recreation. And there's a lot that this this enterprise of community developers nationwide are into. And to have Brother Scott, who we know and love — he is Brother Love, y'all. He is Brother Love. That's his name, Scott Love. And we're just honored to have him at the helm of this enterprise here in Louisville. And we're going to open up the lines. The lines are open. You can call in with your questions or comments. And the number here is 502-571-1240. Now, we're going to continue the conversation while we wait on our callers to call in, because Brother Scott was sharing with me something I got really impressed with over the break about the leadership of this national body, LISC. And Brother Scott, can you share that with our audience?
Absolutely. You know, I'm very proud to say that LISC, our national leadership, we are now governed by a Black CEO, Michael Pugh, who will be coming on board in October, currently the president CEO of Carver Bank, which I believe is still the largest Black bank in the country. He's coming on board. This is a gentleman who knows our community, the BIPOC community, the needs and challenges that we have. So his expertise and more than 30 plus years in banking, I think, really will lend itself well to help our communities across the country. Louisville certainly being one of the primary ones. But not only, Kevin, is our CEO Black, but our president of LISC is also a Black and African-American woman, Denise Scott, who is widely, really internationally known in this sphere of work. And so we are probably the only CDFI at our level that is run by African-Americans. And so we're really excited about how that's going to bode for our communities and our body of work going forward. You know, being a CDFI and a financial intermediary, we only work — Congress, when the Regal Act created us, you know, we only work in the underserved, underprivileged, under-resourced communities of America. So we think with this Black-led senior management team that we're really going to have a keen eye on the things that need to be addressed and changed within our communities.
You know, Scott, you know, I understand the importance of Black leadership, and I know you do, and I want you to help explain why that's important to our listening audience, because you, as a seasoned economic development executive yourself, have seen a lot over many years. And have worked in a lot of leadership systems. Probably up until now, most of the leadership, if I dare speculate, you've been working with white leaders and been on teams where they're led by whites, all still aimed at the same issue of dealing with economic empowerment, even in Black communities. But why is it important to have Black leadership at the helm of a national organization that's dealing with these perplexing challenges of economic empowerment in Black America? Why is it important?
Thank you for that question. I think fundamentally, we've got leadership that you don't have to train. We've got leadership that understands. Why? Because it's a lived experience. And so that makes us more nimble. We don't have to take time to train and explain senior management who may not understand or have lived the challenges of a BIPOC community. So I think just fundamentally that makes us more nimble and closer to the ground. So we understand these things that are going on in the community, because I've got somebody in my family going through some of those same challenges. And so I think that's important. And I think collectively through our leadership and other industry leadership that happens to look like you and I, we draw closer to really coming up with national ideas and leadership opportunities for our community. But ultimately, at the end of the day, these thought leaders, these new ideas, these new perspectives come back to roost in local communities. And it's so important that we've got that top-down mentality of that education, that lived experience that can trickle back down to West Louisville, that people that look like us that understand our issues. And so I think, you know, as a representative of LISC, I'm very proud of our senior leadership and what I really fully expect to be a new paradigm for LISC and for our industry with this leadership.
Well, that's a powerful statement you just made, Brother Scott. And the first point you led with, you don't have to train people who have lived the same life experience that, you know, the challenges that we're trying to face are still mired in. And I have a personal testimony on that, too, because for much of my 40-year career, I've been blessed to, you know, be a Black leader among other Black leaders. You know, 14 years with the Housing Authority. You know, the ironic thing, we never had a Black executive director of the Housing Authority, but during my years, all the key leadership staff positions and who actually ran the day-to-day were Black, including myself and others. And I think about, you know, people like Will C. and Aaron Houston, Candy Olmstead, you know, and others. We had a great management team there. And then from there to the Urban League, working 11 years there with Ben Richmond, and I learned a lot about private sector engagement with Ben's leadership. And certainly being a part of the Urban League, you're dealing with not only local Black leadership, but you're part of a national movement of Black leaders. And I love the work we did with National Urban League, and would always be a sponge soaking up all that information, but also a leader showing that we are among the best in the nation at what we do here in Louisville.
Amen.
But also working with Sam Watkins before I succeeded him in 2017. And so you made a compelling statement. Black leadership, especially in places that are aimed at addressing the needs of the Black community, is critically important. In fact, when we went through the civil unrest period of 2020, and I don't think we should move away from this, my mindset shifted, because I realized that so much of my career I had worked hard to assimilate to a predominant white culture. And that's one of the things that Brother Michonne talked about last week. You know, he don't use the word white, but he says the predominant European culture. We've spent most of our lives assimilating to that. So the mindset shifted during the period of civil unrest that we've got to dismantle these systems and empower Black leaders to deal with our issues. And how do you do that? That's always a challenge. So I appreciate you bringing that up, because that is so important.
And Kevin, just one other point. And you said dismantle that structure. And I think we need to make sure that we're comfortable being our true and authentic selves, without fear of repercussions from this the greater majority community. And I think we as a people, and we as Black leaders, are really going down that road. I mean, if you look at our city right now, we may not talk about it, but if you look at Louisville and a lot of the organizations that are here are run by Black leaders. I think of Adria Johnson at Metro United Way, a Darrell Unsell at Boys and Girls Club, a Kenya Freeman at Work World International, Kevin Fields at LCCC. I mean, we could go on and on and on of the number of organizations here. Linden over at the Urban League, a number of organizations here who are led by Black leaders. It's unprecedented. I would say, in talking to some of those leaders, we probably right now rival any major city with the number of Blacks in executive positions. That's something we should be proud of. That's something that we need to hold on to tightly and really lift up.
You know, we got to hold on to it, and we got to prepare the next generation to move into those roles too, because I think you're 100% right. What happened since 2020 has been revolutionary in terms of Black empowerment. But we don't want it to be seasonal, right? We don't want it to have a seasonal effect. And it's a reality that, you know, there's an anti-woke movement, just like there was a woke movement, a DEI movement. There's also an anti-DEI movement that's afoot. It tends to be in political ranks, but it still filters into corporate and governmental ranks as well as community ranks. And so we got to hold on to that, but also know that there's no turning back and that we've got to be ready for future generations. That was one of the criticisms that I felt from some of the younger generations. I had a few nephews to holler at me and say, "Uncle, I don't think y'all doing enough with helping us to be ready when y'all moving out." And we got to be intentional about that. So that's, you know, there's no moving back, no going back, but just know that we got a headwind coming against us that's trying to push back. And that's the reality. So, Brother Deacon, I'm so glad you're here, because part of this ministry here is to certainly inspire our community about opportunities and how we take on some of the challenges that we face through education. And Brother Herbert, I'm glad he's on. Herbert, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know you
I'm
got
here.
Say what you want to say about how we deal with these issues, because you got a vaccine for this thing, right?
The vaccine is the education, right, for the community. So, you know, Scott, appreciate everything you said about opportunities, economic opportunities, you know, sharing with the community. And, you know, my old saying that Kevin just mentioned is that the vaccine to anything is education. So continue to do what you do. But I do have a question around your housing. What about your affordable housing initiative is different from everything else you're hearing that's going on in the city?
So, you know, so we as an intermediary, we don't do direct programming. However, we fund those who do. So we're looking for affordable housing projects. We're looking to really build up our BIPOC developers. You know, nationally, we're getting ready to roll out a new developer training program for the BIPOC community. LCCC has been in this work for several years now, and we're looking for partners to how to partner to build that out. We want more affordable housing. We're excited that the mayor has an initiative of 15,000 units in his first term. And so we're working to help educate new developers or existing developers that have greater capacity to do projects in our community and around the city. We certainly don't want concentrated poverty, low-income housing in West Louisville. And so we want that all across the city. But we need to train up, educate, if you will, Herbert, our developer and contractor community to make sure that they're ready to take on these new opportunities and challenges. And so we're excited about, you know, this work around affordable housing. And so we're going to offer capacity grants. We have things called Section 4 money. It's a special program through HUD. I've got about $275,000 that I'm deploying now, all centered around uplifting this affordable housing space around technical assistance for the BIPOC community, particularly around developers, contractors, folks who are already out in the field doing the work.
So I want to circle back. Herb, thank you for taking note on that slight diversion, because that was the Holy Spirit ministering to us, because it's triggered just the idea that we're going to do some program development here. This is Reality Radio, y'all, so we making it work as we speak. And Brother Scott, I heard you say you're looking for partners on this housing initiative, and you know about our Purpose-Driven Developer Academy, Tiffany Williams, Eternal LLC, and Zaberia Perrier working alongside me and others. We will be graduating our second cohort of Purpose-Driven Developer Cadets October 3rd, just a few days from now. If your calendar permits, I really want you to be present. In fact, I would ask our manager if she's got room on the program for you to speak to the group, because these cadets have all created business plans, and some of them are ready to be financed day one. Some of them need some additional coaching and need to be mentored, but all of them have completed a 10-week course and have demonstrated that they are dead serious about being a developer. And our mission there is to build a community of community builders from within our community. And I think that's what we're doing. But I want you to be there, Scott, if you can. We'll talk about details after. But
Kevin, can I just speak to that just one quick?
Sure.
Thank you for that invitation. I'd love to be there. I plan to be there.
Okay.
But, you know, those cadets from your second, number one, your two cohorts have been excellent. You've got the right people leading it, and so I give you kudos for the work that LCCC has done. You know, one of the things that LIS prides itself on, for, and I'm going to use this as an example, we're in the market as a lender, first as a grant maker, but secondly as a lender. And we're lending, we do lending that traditional banks don't ordinarily do. For our, particularly I'm speaking of the BIPOC community. They may be more risky deals. They, as we say in the field, they may have more hair on them. But those are the deals that LISC and other CDFIs look for. So we have taken, you know, as I said, we are a financial intermediary. Some of the monies that we've cobbled in go towards the work with BIPOC communities to do credit enhancement. Credit enhancement could be maybe lower equity injections. Perhaps that looks like blending down a rate. But we're doing unique things to help community, to help people just like those graduates of your program, those cadets, as you call them, to be successful. And we're doing lending for acquisition, pre-development costs, grants sometime for pre-development that, you know, you're not going to find at a traditional bank. So we're helping to move the needle and market for your graduates in those meaningful ways.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to talk to Zyberia Perrier about getting with you to be a part of that program and sharing those resources with them and making those connections. I think there's a real opportunity. In fact, we're going to have a pitch competition. Maybe you can be a judge on the pitch panel. So, yeah, love to have you a part of that. But Brother Scott, Brother Deacon, we know that resources, we talk about economics all the time, and we know that resources, you know, lack of resources often triggers misery, stress, trauma, and it works against, you know, the kind of healthy spirit that we want to have as people and that we want others to have so that we can have a strong community. And so can you talk about that from your vantage point? You know, we all know that this is ministry work because we're doing things that we're passionate about and that, you know, we care about. But I'm just going to suggest that, you know, I work in many circles, and the, using Michonne's term again, the dominant European culture will respond to needs, but then I've seen you know, conversations where, well, we've already done A, B, and C, and we're still not getting the change that you guys are saying is needed. So what's the ultimate on how we appeal to the spirit of our community to seize this moment, you know, when they see it, of making life-changing decisions to be empowered and to grow in a positive direction? I know that's a lot said, but can you just minister to us just, you know, in that way for a moment?
And I thank you for that question. I think as a community, the first thing that comes to my mind, Kevin, is we have to be encouragers of one another in our community. We all have great setbacks in our communities and our respective families. So I think being an encourager, I think the next thing we need to remind ourselves and our community is to hold on to God's unchanging hand.
Amen.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never failed us individually. He has certainly never failed our community. We have challenges, sure enough, but he can see us through them all. And so, amen, I think returning to a sense of spirituality, returning to a sense of being encouragers one to another. We spend a lot of time and energy around drama and tearing one another down. And I think it's time for our community to really return to, being encouragers, loving one another, and really being role models. I think folks have gotten away from intentionally being role models for our community. We need the brothers to stand up. We need the sisters to nurture these young women. So we've got a lot of work to do, but all of that is rooted in our spirituality, our faith, whose we are. And so I'm excited, encouraged, and work on a daily basis. You know, I do all this work for LISP, but let me be sure to let your listeners know that I'm Deacon Love first.
Amen.
And so we're praying for the community, we're encouraging the community, and we're trying to point the way. You know, we talk about letting our light shine, and I think it's important for all of us who call ourselves to believe, as believers, to let our light shine on a daily basis. When we get up in the morning and have morning devotion, let's be intentional and ask the Lord to put somebody in my way.
Amen.
That I need to minister to. We can't forget that. We're here as agents of change. The Great Commission in Matthew reminds us that we are to go ye therefore. So we're not waiting to make a difference. That's a command of action. So we are moving forward intentionally to change our community, one person at a time, one family at a time. And so I think just through encouragement and holding true to the spirituality and faith that we claim, making that actionable. Faith is an action word. And so we want to make sure we're doing just that.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Scott. You certainly an anointed man of God and a powerful leader in our community. And I just want to say thank you, brother. I appreciate you sharing that. And I pray that our listeners will heed that call to be encouragers, to build each other up, stop tearing each other down, being there for one another, and taking on challenges, not being afraid to take on challenges.
He does not give us the spirit of fear.
He does not. He does not give us the spirit of fear.
And Amen.
Yeah, he doesn't, Herb. We talk about that when it comes to this violence problem in our community. We can never get scared of our children. These are children. Yeah, they're doing the wrong stuff, but they've probably been trained by somebody to do it. We got to head it off. But we can't be afraid of anything. Herb, I'm going to give you the opportunity to have any closing comments. And we're going to did we have a caller, brother? Okay. We're going to take a few minutes of closing remarks. I've got a few announcements at the end. Going to allow Brother Scott to give some closing comments as well. But Herbert, I'm glad you're still on the show. Any thoughts, closing remarks from your standpoint?
No, I just want to say, Scott, thanks for being on the show today, man. Very informative, and you got it right, Scott. It's all about the spirit and, God have faith with people, you know what I mean? So God bless you, brother, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Herbert. I appreciate that, man. We'll get together soon.
To our listeners, if you want to learn more from Scott Love, you have about 5 minutes to call in. But more importantly, there is a wealth of information about LISC out on the website, lisc.org. And I'm just taking a moment to look at the strategic framework. And Scott, as you give closing remarks for today's broadcast, maybe you can touch on, again, some of the mission work and what you do and how you do, just to recap what you've already said, but also just leave a message of hope and an opportunity to connect with our listeners. How to after hearing from you today, how can they follow up with you in the future?
All right. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be on the show today, Kevin. This has been great conversation. We've covered a lot of topics, and so I'm just happy to have engaged with your listeners. LISC, again, is a CDFI, Community Development Financial Institution. And really look at us, Kevin, in two parts. One, we are a lender, and we lend to the BIPOC community primarily. We lend to create change within our community. But the other half of that coin is we're a grant maker. So we're looking to make grants to move initiatives and investments in community. I mentioned that LISC Louisville, we've already have $25 million worth of investment in community in these short 2 years we've been here. We're certainly looking to do more. But our main thing is to work with the agencies, individuals in our community, West Louisville, Smoketown, Shelby Park, to really figure out, understand what they're doing, what their initiatives are, and then figure out a way to fund them to help scale what they're doing for the benefit of the community. CDFIs, we're here to help scale local initiatives. Again, the local initiative support corporation is our name. So my staff and I daily are looking to see what local entities are doing and how we can help them to bring meaningful impact to community, our community. And so we're very proud to work with the BIPOC community. And so we're right in the midst, Kevin, of a three-year strategic plan. I know that you have had great conversation with our national consultant who is helping with that. But folks can reach me at slove@lisc.org, slove@lisc.org. That's my email address. And send me ideas or initiatives or give me more information about what your particular organization is doing or seeks to do. You know, as we roll out our strategic plan, probably the first part of November, I want to make sure that we've incorporated all of this wonderful, rich information about what's going on in our community, and then hold a public forum sometime that first part of November to really let the community know we've heard you, we've seen you, we value your opinion, and this is how we're going to move forward to really address some of the critical needs in our community. So folks can reach out to me via email to get involved, to learn more, to seek a loan from, you know, LISC or grant opportunity. Normally, we will listen to community, find out some of the initiatives. We'll go to our funders as an intermediary, draw down funds, and then we'll normally put out RFPs around some body of work and ask local institutions or agencies to respond to those RFPs to receive grant funds. Thank you again, Kevin, for this opportunity.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you for being here today. Folks, you've heard from Scott Love with Louisville LISC, an organization that has a mission of forging resilient and inclusive communities of opportunities across America. They do that by empowering people, supporting enterprise, transforming places, and driving systemic transformation. And they couldn't have a better leader in this market than Brother Scott Love. So I just want to say thank you, Scott. And to our listeners, thank you for listening in again. I do want to give you a couple of quick closing announcements by way of upcoming activities. We do have a great portfolio of services happening at the BIC. We've got a series of workshops open on how to obtain business credit that's being offered through the Small Business Administration September 21st. If I'm not correct, that's probably tomorrow. Is that, what's today's date? That's today, 5 o'clock. And then we've got the October 5th, how to use business credit workshops, and just a whole series of workshops. So if you want to hear more about that, contact us at 583-8821 and get yourself enrolled. We're tracking toward October. October is Economic Mobility Month. We're tracking toward the 7th annual West Louisville Economic Mobility Summit and the Sam Watkins Light the Way Entrepreneur Excellence Award. And we're going to do that on October 20th. You'll be hearing a lot more about that in the coming months. I'm really excited about next week's show. So we're honored and blessed to have Brother Scott here, who presides over the Deacon Board at St. Stephen Church. But next week, we actually have the pastor, the senior pastor of St. Stephen Church, Reverend Dr. Kevin W. Cosby, senior pastor at St. Stephen, but also the president of Simmons College of Kentucky, has agreed to give us an hour out of his busy schedule. And that's such an honor to have that commitment coming from Pastor Cosby. He'll be here in the studio next week. But folks, that's the end of our show for today. But until next week, be safe, be blessed. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly affairs update on Russell and surrounding neighborhoods in West Louisville. We hope you enjoyed our show and took away news you can use to help lift your spirits and increase your prosperity. Join us next week as we continue our mission, equity advancement and community empowerment. For now, be safe, be blessed. Until we meet again, the LCCC, leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.